Friday if you guys settle in. Hey, Kelly. Hey, Kelly. Do you feel like I'm going to release it? Yeah.
Okay, so during worship, I was seeing two things. One, I was seeing, obviously, God was just plastering hearts all over people, but one of the hearts that I was seeing was one that had red ribbons on it, a heart that was white background and had red ribbons on it. And so I went back there and kind of Googled, what does a red ribbon mean? And so it's generally used to signify the heart, stroke, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I felt like the Lord was saying he wants to heal hearts. And so I felt like he was just sticking it on different hearts. For anybody who has like inflammation in the heart or a risk for heart issues, then I just felt like the Lord was just sticking that on you. So take that. If you've had a history of heart issues, I think the Lord wants to heal that. And so I just bless your heart for healing tonight. And then the other thing I saw was a purple ribbon right at the end. And so I had to look that one up too. And that was for pancreatic cancer. Anybody who's having is anybody here have pancreas problems or pancreatic cancer history with that or family member? Okay. All right. Well, I feel like he wants to heal that tonight also. So, be looking for, if it's not you or somebody, you know, be looking to come across somebody this week so you can release that healing through you, this week. So what's that?
Pancreas can also be diabetes.
Oh, it can also be diabetes in the pancreas. Oh, wow. See, I didn't. Oh, see? So, anybody? Okay. All right. So, Jesus, we just bless the pancreas for healing. And God, we just pray, yes, over him and over anybody that we come across this week, that you will release healing through us to the pancreas of anybody that we might encounter. So, Lord, I just thank you that you're giving that to us now. Lord, position us, be looking for it, be ready to release that healing through what you're going to do this week, God. And I just thank you in advance for the healing that you want to heal. You want to restore and heal. And I thank you that that's on your heart. And so, Lord, let it be on our hearts, what's on your heart. And we just ask, God, for your healing to go forth and your word to accomplish everything you said it would do. It will accomplish in Jesus' name.
Yeah, that's good. So that's what you would call a word of knowledge. It would be, especially when you're talking about specifically something he's wanting to go after. It's information you might have come by. The only way you came by that information is because God gave it to you. So sometimes it might be like he gives you a phone number or something like that, but sometimes it's specific things. And even check your body sometimes if you're feeling a particular pain or an emotional state or whatnot, and you know, like, this is not me. Like, I know that just came out of nowhere. That also may be a word of knowledge that he's identifying so he could tell you what you're wanting to go, he wants you to go after. And so all of a sudden, I know a lot of times I'll feel like a pain in my hip or side, and I don't have that type of pain. And then inevitably I run across somebody who's dealing with that exact thing. And it's like, Lord wants to heal that. We'll go after that. So God is so good. But what we wanted to do tonight before we jump into teaching and talk to Cindy for a good hour today, and which is always dangerous. You get to it. That was actually a pretty good conversation for us. That was a short conversation when you get two processors going through. But we wanted to open up a Q&A time. Just any questions you guys might have. From even the last week or things have been taught, even on Sunday, you know, I think we had an amazing time with Muzz here and the prophetic being released, but we felt like it was necessary before we stepped into the teaching time. And so if you got a question, just raise your hand and Michael will run out to you and make sure we can hear you. Sure. Hold on to the mic, Mike.
Okay, so this is such fun testimony. I really wanted to share. A friend of mine who lives in Austin, and so we became friends when she came, just coming through San Antonio one night, and the Lord told me to go to, you know, that place, and we met, and I asked her, do you know Jesus? And she said, no, I just led her to the Lord. It's not me. I just obey the Lord. Anyway, so she lives in Austin, and we've been friends for 6-7 years. And, you know, I say friends, but she's like my daughter. Anyway. And she has told me that she's been struggling with depression just recently, you know, just living in Austin by herself in the culture. And, you know, while she's trying to be really the light, and, you know, Austin is a dark place, so she's really, because she's mercy. Anyway, so especially right after Christmas holiday, you know, she left the Christmas tree up and she was just cleaning her house, and she's got a lot of things going on, like Airbnb and all that. And the fun story is, she recently told me that she struggles with cleaning the house. So she bought a little robot air vacuum cleaner thing. And one night, that she took a day off because she was so stressed out, and she was cleaning the house, and she didn't even put up the Christmas tree. And this robot thing finished vacuuming, and then it parks, I guess. I don't know. Parks, but it parks. Uh-huh. And then it doesn't move until it's charged. But so she sat down at her table when it parked, and she felt just such heaviness, and she was just getting so sad and just worn out. And she sat down and thinking, you know, like my life and sort of like sucks, she was thinking. And then this robot that was charged started moving toward her, directly came to her. It was like, what's up with this? And there was the Christmas card that I sent to her, and it was right on top, and then it just delivered to her. So she pulled it up. I'm like, oh, I guess God wants me to read it. And so in there, I wrote Psalm 16:11. I remember what I wrote to her, because I felt like that's what God told me to put on that. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures in your right hand. She was like, ha! Ah! And then she shared with me when I met with her a couple of weeks ago.
The Lord works in mysterious ways. He can use a donkey and a robot. I would imagine nowadays it wouldn't be Balaam's donkey, it would be Balaam's robot or something. So, Roxanne?
Cindy, can you explain the activation time last Wednesday? And will that be, will you have similar activations like that? And just explain a little bit. I know we talked on the phone, but I just would like to hear a little more.
Anything in particular about the activation, though? Because I know we had lots of questions. Why we do it that way? Okay. No, it was good, because I did have a couple of different questions about that and about the activation. So usually we do kind of a full teaching, and Jay's going to unpack some of that tonight, next week and stuff too. But the first thing is a lot of people don't even know that they can hear God. Like, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a denomination where, like, the gifts were dead and ceased and whatever. And so it offended me when I would read scripture and I would hear people talking about the gifts and how they would operate in them. And so it stirred hunger in me. And then, honestly, I'm just going to fast forward this really quick. And the Lord just started doing stuff. Like, Chris and I were in youth ministry for a long time, and we had actually taken a trip, taken the youth up to IHOP or whatever. My very first time in the prayer room was around the year 2000, 2001. And one of our kids got his prayer language, and I was like, you're faking, dude. You know what I mean? Like, he's just wanting attention or whatever, like, because I had no, like, information about it. But because of that atmosphere, because of what happened, I began to search and to seek and, you know, and just went hungry for, like, well, wait, because I was offended by Pentecostal people that would say, like, you don't have Holy Spirit because you're not speaking in tongues. And I'm like, whatever, I know that I do, you know what I mean? So it stirred hunger in me to know more, right? And to really dig for truth. And so the first thing I'm going to say to you is go after the word, like, right? Like, go dig in the word first, like, for yourself, right? And dig after asking the Father or Jesus or however you came to know the Lord, like, whatever aspect of the Trinity, because I didn't have a concept of Holy Spirit, really, like, as a person. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I had to start with what I knew. And I went after the word in it and searched. And then I started asking the leadership, you know, and I was in a Methodist church at the time. And the leader didn't really answer my question, like, good enough for me. Do you know what I mean? So I kept asking other people. So I went to the pastor and I went to other people who I believed were spirit-filled. And it was really funny because there was a Wednesday morning class, Bible study, actually, of women, when one of the ladies, she's an older woman, I call her Mama Lynn, and the Lord asked her to ask everybody who has not received their prayer language. And so I'm like, I want to know more. Like, what do you mean? I never even heard the phrase prayer language. Do you hear what I'm saying? So just learning even the language and how she explained it to me, I won't go into the whole story of that. But again, it spurred me to hunger. And then in that group were a couple of Church of Christ ladies come into a Methodist Bible study, and they didn't raise their hand. So I was like, hold up.
time out. How did you get, you know, if you didn't raise your hand? And I just kept asking. I kept pursuing. And what I began to learn is everybody here is different. Everybody learned different. We all come from different streams. And that's kind of, I think, sometimes a difficulty, right? Especially what I'm learning is, as a teacher, we get people from different walks of life who've had different experiences or different training. Does that make sense? So, well, fast forward, and I was a part of a supernatural ministry school in Abilene. We planted in 2010. It was one of the Bethel schools. And so I got super familiar with some of their activations and the different books that were part of our curriculum. And the exercises that they would do is just really basic, like, do you even know how to hear God and how he speaks? Are you going to cover some of that? Yeah. So just real brief, like, you know, like, that's why we do the activations in terms of picture. When I asked for a sound, when I asked for, like, it's a prompt to let you know it's one way that God can speak. Like, just because he talks to me in pictures, I've had people, well, I say, like, do you see a red apple in my hand? If I said there's a red apple in my hand, there might be some people that really, like, they can't, you know, like, envision that. And so, okay, well, then maybe God speaks to you a little bit differently by impression or by a scripture that will show up or whatever it is. Everyone hears differently. But what I also learned is he won't just talk to you in one way. Like, I, as much as I understand that there may be times where we may go through desert seasons or the dark night of the soul, like, I refuse to believe that that's what's necessary. Because I just think that God, like, is always talking. So what he explained to me one time when I felt that, because I would get downloads and dreams, and he would talk really vividly to me in my dreams, and I'd get super specific words and pictures, and I thought that would be the only way that he would really share with me other than through the word. And then as I began to grow and learn, he started showing me all kinds of other ways that he speaks, and especially as I was meeting other people and how they spoke to him, or how he spoke to them. Does that make sense? And so what that did, and especially in these activations, it taught us to be able to ask with childlike faith. If I ask for bread, he's not going to give me a stone, right? So if I'm just learning, like, one of the things we used to say in school all the time is you're required to fail at least 3 times or you can't graduate. And what that means is you have to take a step of faith. So it's risk. John Wimber said, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. You have to risk. Like, no one's going to get prayed for unless you pray for them outside of God sovereignly touching them. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, or them asking, obviously the sovereign thing. But what if we went and laid hands and prayed for somebody, then we're being used in that same capacity. In the same way, in the gift of prophecy or in hearing, being able to hear God is like, that's the children's bread. Like Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And so there's so much of the time people, I hear people all the time, I don't know, like, I get frustrated or offended when people talk about hearing God because I don't know how to hear God. So that's like the biggest passion of my heart is to help people hear God, right? So these are simple exercises like the activation that we did last week. They're simple prompts with childlike faith because it's just weird. Like, it's just weird to ask Jesus, go, okay, Jesus, like, give me a fruit, you know? And so every one of us is going to probably get a different fruit, right? I don't know why, but, you know, if I hear, see grapes or whatever it is, then I'll be like, okay, why grapes, Jesus? What is it doing? I'm prompting conversation. You see what I'm saying? I'm asking him a question, and I actually have childlike faith to believe that he will tell me. He'll talk to me. He'll actually speak. Like, I don't know about you, but if my kid's talking to me, like, I think he should expect me to say something back and not ignore him. Okay, so I think the same way about our Father. He's the Word of God, right? You've heard that, right? So he's probably still talking. So when we ask that question, if I get grapes, for example, and I'm seeing purple grapes in my head, you know, and then I'm like, okay, why purple grapes? Like, I don't know. Well, what I might say about interpretation of purple grapes might be completely different than what you would say. You might not like purple grapes, right? Especially the seeded kind. Well, I didn't see the seeded kind. I actually see the red ones. I don't call them red. For some reason, I call them purple, but I see the red ones. Now, is that weird? Because that's Cindy, right? And God knows how to talk to me in my language. So he leads me with that picture into new wine, right? And so then I'm thinking new wine, and I'm thinking, okay, well, my interpretation of that would be, do you see? And so he leads me by showing me a picture, by giving me another word, another impression, or my definition, or my interpretation. And what I'm learning is to exercise this muscle of A, I can hear God, and he can speak to me, and I continue the conversation. And so I think most people, like I said, hear God, whether they know or not. You had to hear him at least once to know Jesus. Like, you came to the Lord by some way, right? You heard him somehow. You had a leaning. You had some step of faith. Something led you into relationship with the Lord, and then as you've grown in that, you were hearing him. But you just don't realize it because you don't pay attention to those little fleeting pictures or little fleeting impressions or whatever. So the activations make you actually stop and pause and go, okay, Jesus, so give me a cartoon character. You know, like, what? Because, and I'll tell you the story that I told someone when I was explaining this. Like, I didn't know that I even know anything about prophecy when the activation of the prayer language from that story I was just telling you actually came to be. Is it okay if I tell that story really quick? Because it kind of makes sense to me to do that. So long story short, I'm in that prayer women's group. They prayed for me. All of these older women who were like 60 plus, I was young and just like hungry, right? And so they prayed for me, and this is what Mama Lynn said. She said, now you're going to have to just open your mouth and say something. Like, just say something. Okay, like what? She's like, okay, so my daughter was 6 months old at the time, and she was a rocker hugger in the nursery. And she says, you know how Caitlin will babble at you and look at you like she knows exactly what she's talking about at 6 months old, and you have no idea what she's saying? I said, yeah. She said, that. It will be whatever syllable comes in your head, whatever pops into your head or whatever, and you're just going to have to speak it. You're going to have to exercise the muscle. Like, Holy Spirit's not necessarily going to always take over. Now, I know some people have that testimony. Holy Spirit showed up, bam, all of a sudden, like, power's coming through them, and they're speaking in tongues, and that's how everybody kind of expects. A friend of mine, the Church of Christ lady that was in that same meeting, was kind of like, when I asked her, I was like, how did you get that? She said, Cindy, I was on my bed for 20 years doing this. Like, come on, Jesus. Like, I just would just take over. And she just opened her, until someone said, listen, and then just speak with childlike faith. Listen and then speak, but your tongue has to partner with Holy Spirit, okay? And so the first few syllables out of my mouth were stupid syllables. They didn't make any sense to me. I felt nothing, like no wah, wah, you know, anything. It was just, you know, whatever. Like, I don't even remember the two syllables or whatever that I got. And that was just kind of dumb, you know? And then these sweet women were like, now don't you let Satan tell you that you're just saying something like Suzuki. Like, you know, like you just don't let him rob you of those little seeds. And she says, you just keep practicing and you keep practicing and it's going to come and you'll know. Y'all, for months, I'm sitting there putting on my makeup, doing whatever, practicing gibberish, basically, feeling nothing, not real spiritual, you know, just asking Jesus. And I'm just saying these few little syllables. And, you know, at the time, Chris was like, I'll pray in English. Thank you very much. You're weird, you know. And so I'm just doing it by faith, like with childlike faith. I'm like, Jesus, I'm hungry and I want this and I don't understand it all, but I'm just going to step out with childlike faith. Months go by. We have a college ministry in our house. I have Church of Christ, Baptist, and Methodist kids. Okay, so like, I'm just telling you. And so I'm like tiptoeing into little things, right, just myself. This is my first experience. I don't have any training in prophetic ministry. I have none of that stuff. I've never had it modeled for me, right? I'm just going with it. So a guy comes in. He asks for prayer. He hurt an ankle or something. We go to pray for him. Like we always would pray for anybody, right? We're just laying hands on him. We're praying for him. And all I can describe to you is the reality of my experience. And that is that I felt from my gut, the Spirit come like this. And my heart was beating faster. And I had a knowing that God was about to show up out of my mouth. I knew that he wanted me to speak and pray out loud in my prayer language. And inside, I was like, no, Jesus, no, you don't understand. These kids are all going to run and call their parents, and we're going to be, like, in trouble. Like, this is not good, right? Like, my brain is fighting, like, all this stuff inside of me going, okay, I don't know. But then my spirit's like, I can't help it, almost. I could have shut it down. I'm going to tell you that. I could have shut it down. But because I love God, I was like, okay, I don't know. I don't understand. But like right before it came out of my mouth, I just had to say out loud, okay, you guys, I don't have any way to explain this, but I'm going to have to pray in tongues out loud and I'll explain it later, blah, 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 blah. And it just came like that, you know. And by his grace, he let me get that little bit out before it all came out. And I just, I mean, this warring thing like a mom came over him, and I was fiercely praying over this kid like he was my son. I didn't know this kid. He was the first time he'd been to our house. Okay? So I'm really freaked out here. I'm like, man, we're going to really do damage here. But I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and then I saw pictures and had impressions. I didn't know what to do with those, but when I was done, I was like, okay. Oh man, I'm gonna have to really clean up the mess that I just made. What was beautiful is my amazing, intelligent, Bible reading husband, who was not praying in tongues, by the way, at the time, was secretly reading about all this stuff, right? And so he began to teach. Well, in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, he starts talking about the gifts of the Holy, and I'm like, what the, he was the one kind of, at the time, I'm just saying, so he did amazing and did the teaching. And as we were praying, I forgot to mention, I felt the impression to grab both of his hands. I was just touching his shoulder at one point. And as I was praying in my language, the Lord showed me to pull both of his hands and hold my thumb in the middle of his palm on both sides as I was praying fiercely. And the picture I saw was like a transfusion was happening from one of my hands through his body through the other one. And there was like a transfusion taking place in his blood. And I saw a flash of a picture of the side profile of a chief Indian with the feather thing or whatever. And I heard the word warrior. Now, I'm just telling you, that's how the revelation came to me. I don't have any training in this. It's just how it came. And so as we were talking later, he's like, well, why did your hand? I said, I don't know. I just felt like God told me to do that. And I explained what I saw. I was like, I don't know, but this is what I saw. And I shared with him on that set, and it freaked him out. He was a Seventh-day Adventist. And that was about when he was little, was raised in it, had gone far, far, far away from God, was into all kinds of things. And one of them was chakras and pressure points and all this other stuff that was going on. And I said, I felt like the Lord is doing some kind of cleansing, some kind of transfusion or whatever with you. And, his ankle was healed, by the way. And that freaked us all out because we hadn't even gone after that, right? And then I told him the pictures, and I don't remember where he was from, but the college they went to, that used to be their mascot, was the Indians. And I said, and I know you go to the school, but I don't know what it means or whatever. And he said, well, I do know. He said, I'm Native American. I don't remember what tribe he said. And he said, and my middle name means warrior, which was the word that I got. And I was just you're just kind of undone. What just happened? Right? And so I've had encounters like that, and I have stories like that I can share with you that Jesus will give you stuff I didn't even ask, right? And he'll prompt it in there. But if I didn't even, what if I didn't share it? What if I just kept that weirdness to myself? Do you know what I mean? What if it was just, what if I didn't capture that picture? What if I didn't grab his hands? Do you hear what I'm saying? These are all the things where just learning how to lean into the Holy Spirit and him guiding you and then continuing this conversation. And what if we did this 24/7, right? Not just when we have our quiet time, our Bible study and all that, but all the time. And so that's what we're doing when we're doing the activations, to go a long way to answer the question. I really want to go there in this way because I want you to hear the heart behind this teaching as we're unpacking it, because we're not going to get it all done today. But that is that what we're training you to do is activate the different ways that you can hear God and to just feel foolish, to be honest. You're just going to have to get over some pride stuff and fear of man. Because if you don't get past that, you're not going to pray for somebody. You're not going to step out in faith. You're not going to, because you're going to be afraid they're going to think you're crazy looking. And you will. I'm a fool for Jesus. Who's fool are you? You know what I mean? So we're practicing here where it's safe, where it's okay if we fail and mess up. If you noticed, if you were here for the activations, only a handful of people said, oh yeah, that resonated with me. Not everybody's did. Well, was it God? I don't know. Maybe not. When I was praying the first 3 months or whatever, I didn't feel nothing. There was no manifestation that I'm aware of while I was praying. I have no idea. But I know when it showed up. Okay? I know the way Chris Vallotton talks about it is when we speak something, our words can be just really nice, encouraging words. Jesus loves you, whatever it is, right? And if they were the color red, for example, and if my words coming out of my mouth were the color red, and the Father said, I like that. I'm just going to throw my grace on that. And he throws his grace blue on top of that red, and it becomes purple, and there's life in it. There becomes a supernatural thing that takes place. And so, but what if I never speak the red words? You heard what I'm saying? But I need to speak it, and I may just speaking red words all day long, and it's not really landing, but I'm just going to keep doing it. Because then at some point, God's grace is going to show up, or he'll download it, and I'm saying it, and I don't even realize that it's him sometimes. How many of you gave a word last week, and they said, that really resonated with me, and you kind of went, I heard God? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's amazing. And that's the other thing to think about that. When you receive a word and it does resonate, the reason why I ask that is because it builds faith in the person that just heard, because maybe they thought, well, I just got dumb red balloon or whatever it was. You know, my little interpretation was ho-hum. But if it touched somebody, there's your fruit. Does that make sense? Okay.
I think there's another part of this, too, is that you want to fail in a smaller room before you get to a bigger stage. And so when you're practicing, well, you're like, yes, go out there and take a risk. But there's something about being in family where it's safe. Mm-hmm. Like in a culture of honor where it says, like, I can be wrong and I'm not going to be judged for it either. You know, like, okay, we're going to celebrate the fact that you're reaching out. And because specifically in Scripture, it says, wherever there's prophecy, let two or three judge the word. What, that's not just in general out in the middle of the world. That's in a prophetic family. That's in a church family that it's describing that. He was talking to the church at Corinth. So he's saying, as you guys are gathering together and prophetic ministry is being released, he says, together in family, it's not judgment of like I'm waiting to strike down fire from heaven. It's like, you know, that didn't land, or that sounds like, or when you did this, it felt a little weird, or, you know, like there's feedback and there's this ongoing thing, so much so that it builds momentum and it builds faith inside of you. When you step out, you're like, I've already failed. Like, you know, in my family, I know I'm loved. I know I'm accepted. And so I have nothing to lose stepping outside of this thing. And so make mistakes in small rooms so that as you step in the big one, it also gives us an opportunity to be able to steward and father well what God is doing, you know, in the middle of this place. And I just kind of give you a confirmation on that, of what Cindy was talking about. There's this story that Chris has in his Basic Training, the Prophetic book. But I just want to read it to you real quick. It says, some time ago, several of us traveled to Morningstar Conference where they were training people how to prophesy. With about 70 people in the room, we were all prophesying to a woman in the front of the room. When we had completed the 10 prophecies allowed each person and began to judge the words given, a man in the back of the room stood to his feet and said, "You have a yellow shirt." Immediately, the woman fell to the ground and crying hysterically. The man continued to prophesy, saying things like, "The sun is yellow, the moon is yellow," and so on. When the woman finally regained her composure, the leader of the class asked her what the word meant to her, and she explained, "I have a son who is autistic, and I told the Lord today, if you're going to heal my son, have someone tell me that I have a yellow shirt." So in this, you have no idea what God has been prompting in the heart of other people. So, and remember the scripture says he will use the foolishness to shame and confound the wise. Yeah. And so in this childlike faith, this is an important part of it as we step into it. And I would say too, I want to apologize as well in that there should have been some more context given before the activation last week on my end of it. But I knew, I was looking at the time and I'm like, all right, I know a lot of you guys or most of y'all. So I'm like, all right, we'll just go for it, you know, in family. And that's not the best way to go about this thing as well. And so I just want to encourage you guys to ask the questions. There's been some great conversations that have happened this week out of what happened, because this is where we learn and we grow. So we got time for maybe one more quick question, because that's an excellent question. That makes sense?
Or what about anything from even on Sunday?
With Muzz.
You know, like with Muzz, and loved watching him and Chuck ministering together.
We got Claudia.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this question is not about the Sunday, but once I met somebody that was kind of practicing divination. So how can we, you know, and because of the fruits that happened after what this person was doing, but she was able to say, on Sunday, someone is going to show up and is going to do this. So because there is a line, you know, and there was a magician over there, and there was this lady that was saying, these are the the prophets of the Lord or the servants of the Lord. Do you remember? And she was right. She was saying the truth, but Paul stopped her and rebuked her. So how do we?
Discerning the difference?
Yeah, I'll just say next week I'm gonna hit on how to identify a false prophet. But and also too, how do we discern the voices? Because there's basically four voices that are speaking at any one point. So that's going to be God. You know, the Holy Spirit's going to be speaking. Your own human soul's going to be speaking. There's going to be angels, and there's the demonic. And so it's going to be one of those things. And so the thing to remember about this, that the gift of prophecy is what? A gift. It's not a badge of honor. It's not something you had to do it. And so that girl had a gift of foresight and prophecy and stuff like that. And if I'm remembering the scripture you're talking about was the one that she was a fortune teller, like that they're doing it. And when Paul recognizes, like, wait a minute, what's the spirit that is anointing me, an easy word, you know, anointing or giving purpose to that gift? What's a demonic spirit? So he rebukes the spirit. And what happened to her? She didn't have the gift anymore, which told us it wasn't a God-given gift. It was actually a demonic counterfeit of that gift. And so there's a scripture that says in 1 John 4:7, it says, any spirit that says that Jesus came in the flesh is of God, any spirit that does not say that Jesus came in the flesh is not of God. In other words, there's another scripture that says no one can call Jesus accursed by the Spirit of God. Like, you can only call Jesus blessed by the Spirit of God. And so there's this distinctive line drawn in the sand in Scripture that says that the Holy Spirit's always going to glorify and always edify Jesus. A demonic spirit is always going to pull worship away from and get you distracted away from Jesus. And so not to be afraid of some of the manifestations of counterfeit out there as well, because remember when Moses is before Pharaoh's the magicians, they counterfeited some of the exact manifestations or miracles that Moses is working. But when they made the snake, whose snake ate their snake? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And let's just, what did God use to eat a snake? Another snake. Mm-hmm. Okay. So like God can use anything he wants, even what we think of the serpent of old, Satan, the snake, the serpent. Like he's like, man, this is nothing. Like, I can work all things out for my good, and I will always eat the snake of the enemy. I will always take the counterfeit and dwarf it with my spirit. But that is why it's important. And one of the things I enjoyed talking to a couple different people this week is that, one, there's a concern for making sure that we're not being flippant and just saying anything that comes to my mind is not God. How we discern those voices, I would agree 110%. Like, we need to be able to know this is God's voice speaking to me, and so pressing into that. So some of the teaching, some of the training that we'll go into, we'll speak to that.
And I guess I will just add, it's the fruit, right? Like, I mean, kind of what he's saying is like, how do you know the difference? Well, the supernatural is real. The spirit realm is real. And if you haven't seen demonic deliverances, and if you haven't, you know, seen some of those kinds of things that God, the enemy can come looking like an angel of light, right? That's how do you know the definition of deception? You know, you don't know what you don't know, kind of a thing. But when you know God, like when people who, want to look to see if they found a counterfeit dollar bill or whatever, they don't study all the different types of counterfeits. They study the real thing. So that when the counterfeit comes, you're able to know. Well, if you study the truth, then you're able to know when the lie shows up. Does that make sense? And so you may not always know. They may have some half-truths in there. They may have some truths in there, like that story or whatever. But again, it's the source and, again, the fruit of it. Like, does it draw me closer to God? Did it show up in that way? But that's also why I put so much emphasis on the hearer of the word to test and discern the spirit, because that's really your job. That's your invitation to discern. That's why that gift is so important. And the more you know God, the more you're able to test and see if it's good and if it draws you to him and to not be led astray. But that's part of our stewardship of that. It's important to ask those questions and to test it.
And also remember, one of the gifts of the Spirit is the discernment of spirits. And so it's a gift. So what do? I ask. In fact, it says, seek the most helpful or useful gifts. Well, that means that at any particular time that you're ministering, there may be one gift that's more helpful in that moment than another gift. So if I'm in the middle of, especially street ministry, and there's something like, okay, is this gal is saying some accurate information. How did she come by that information? It's either the Holy Spirit or it's a demonic spirit. You know, and so I'm discerning out what's the source. And so knowing the source is important in that moment. You know, other times it's going to be, hey, I need the gift of healing. Why? Because there's a bunch of sick people, right? Other times it may be a word of wisdom. There's a lot of times I'm sitting down with leaders or business people where the people are going through a difficult situation. Guess what I don't necessarily need is a gift of healing in that moment. What do I need? I need a gift of wisdom that will partner also sometimes with word of knowledge and also a prophetic word as well. Too. So in this, like why the activations are also important is now I'm attuned to my heart. And I'm going to go ahead and just jump into, because yeah, let's look at the time, because we want to leave you guys more time for some follow-up question and answer after this and to go into it. But I'm just going to give you a couple scriptures because God is always speaking. John 10:27, Cindy quoted it earlier, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So how do we know that we're following the right one? I can hear his voice. I know his voice. Like I can distinguish his voice. And a lot of what Cindy said is when I check the fruit of it, if it brings fear, if it brings shame, it brings guilt, that's not the voice of my shepherd. So I'm not going to follow that voice. I'm not going to follow it to its logical conclusion. I'm instead listening to where's the voice of my shepherd, and I'm going to follow him because I know him and I follow him. 1 Corinthians 14:31, for you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. So again, one of the things that Paul was bringing into order at the church at Corinth is because they had been a pagan church prior to this and they had many gods, they were almost looking at the nine gifts of the Spirit as the God of prophecy and the God of healing and the God, right? You know, they were attributing to it something that wasn't necessarily because they were driving back from their past. And so he comes in and he sets into order. He's going, all right, so here's what you're going to do. How are you going to learn and grow? It's going to be prophesying one by one. It's not mass chaos where everybody's prophesying all at once because I can't. We're going to talk about what prophecy is for in a second. It's for edification, it's for building up. Well, I can't build up when there's this chaos in the room, right? When specifically when it comes to prophecy. And so he talks about that. Prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Luke 10:21, it says, at that same time, Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And he said, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. So again, how do I access the voice of it? I must come to him like a child, like, hey, Dad, we've got a relationship. And here's the thing. The journey that I've come on, I grew up with a real reverence and awe for the liturgical side of things. I grew up Catholic, and I was an altar boy. And, you know, especially when, you know, you're coming up and you're helping take care of the communion and all that stuff, like the holiness or the awe of the Lord is really in some of those traditions because, like, you don't touch it. You don't mess with it. And so for me, some of what I was taught early on was that the only time, like, if God's going to speak, he's speaking to say something profound. And what we can do is we can translate that in. He's only going to speak to Moses, go deliver my people from Egypt. Abraham, go to this place. Like, and it's always going to be for the big stuff. And the reality is it's all big to him. Like, speaking to you face to face, that's why he says, if you seek me, you'll find me, is big to him. And so for us, it's kind of attuned our hearts that he'll speak to you in the mundane things as much as he's going to speak to you in destiny things. And here's the, I was just really praying about this, the best way scripturally to explain that or to back up what I just said, that he wants to speak to you with the mundane as much as he speaks to you in the profound. And it was when he was talking about the parable of the soils. And he goes, I'm talking to you about earthly things. And if you can't understand the earthly things, how are you going to understand when I tell you about the things of heaven? And so what that teaches us is, as we're stepping into those things, I approach it bit piece by bit piece by bit piece. Like, Lord, I want to hear your voice. Because he wants to reveal mysteries. He wants to reveal profound things. If he revealed them to you all now, what might end up happening is you'd have this knowledge and it would puff you up of like, I know some secret things. Now, how many of you have had teenagers that think they know it all? Okay, they get a little bit of information and they start to tell you about it and you're like, well, that's not actually true. No, dad, I'm telling you, like, dad, I know, I'm an expert, right? I translate that sometimes with God. Like, if he showed you these deep mysteries, but your heart was not still in that development of learning how to steward it, to where the profoundness of the mystery is not more important than the profoundness that your Father's speaking to you. That's the key, I would just say on this, is like, and remember when he sent out the 70, they come back and they're like, hey, the demons obeyed us. He's like, whatever, I saw Satan fall from lightning. Rejoice that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Like, boil it back down into you have a relationship with him. That's the key and the most important thing. As I stop becoming enthralled with the big mystery as the greatest revelation, instead of the mystery of the revelation of his love for me, do you hear him? I'm trying to articulate it well in this. I'm not impressed the fact that I can hear mysteries. I'm impressed that he loves me. That keeps me grounded so that as he shows me more, what happens? I don't get puffed up with the fact that I'm like, yeah, my dad shows me that stuff, but it's not for me. It's for his glory. It's for his kingdom being released. Do you hear what I'm saying? So some of these activations also too are going to be, we've got, Cindy said it, lots of different streams, lots of different backgrounds. We don't know where everybody's at. So let's start with a common core thing so we can begin to walk in this thing. And the other thing too would be is the voice is the way that God speaks to you. How many people in here you would say that you're a knower? Meaning that you don't know how you know something, you just know it. You didn't feel it, you didn't see it, you didn't even hear it, but you just know something, no information. If that's you, raise your hand, okay? How do you explain that to people? Like, you know, and like earlier on, I was saying, like, I saw. Well, my seeing actually was preceded by a knowing in my spirit that there was something that was there. It gave me words to describe it, and as I described it, I saw it. It almost like informed my vision of what I was seeing, but I just knew it, okay? How many people in here would say, I'm just a feeler, right? Like you walk into a room, somebody's depressed over here, you know it. Somebody over here is super duper happy, you're over here. Like you just like become this lightning rod of whatever's in the room, like that. You're hearing God. Like that's one of the primary ways that you may receive or hear information. How many people are seers? Like you get pictures and colors and visions and stuff like that. Go ahead and raise your hand. Right? And so it's different. Now, is any one of those the right way? Yes, all of them are. Because he made you unique. And there's other ways, and I don't want to go into depth on that. My point is this, is what we're doing is I'm attuning my ears to hear his voice on the level that I hear it. And then as I begin to grow it, I begin to trust that I'm hearing his voice. And I can tell you now, when I first started in ministry from leading the church, and during worship, like I'm a knower, but I also feel like I feel manifestation stuff. Like I feel heat, I feel reverberation. Sometimes when I just get touched in the spirit, it's just like shaking and things. It's just me. That's my experience. That's not everybody's experience. That's just part of the way I work. And so I was trying to figure all that out. Like, what is going wrong with me? This must be demonic. You know, what's going on, you know? And I used to, during worship, this is 10 years ago, and we were in the YMCA, and worship be going on, and I would just know that God was saying something, and he wanted to say it. And so I'd walk up, grab a microphone, having no sense of timing or atmosphere or mood or of when he was wanting to do it. I just know I knew he wanted to say something. I'd grab a mic and I would release it. And it might have been the right word in the wrong timing. And all of a sudden you felt like this train wreck of worship. Like everybody was like, we're in this high point of worship and it's so good. And then I'd say something and everybody was like, what does that have to do with anything, right? So I made mistakes in a bigger stage, right? Because I was still learning on how to hear his voice. Later on, as I began to tune, I'm like, okay, so I begin to ask him questions. So you want to say this, is that now? And I ask him that, is that right now? And I'll hear, no. Okay. Is it now? And literally, during I would not hear anything in worship because I'd be like, okay, now? Like, you got little kids that do that. Like, when are we going to the park? In about an hour. Okay. When are we going to the park? About 55 minutes. When are we going to the park? About 54 minutes, like, you know, like that. So the whole time they're in worship, what is I doing? I was attuning my knower to his voice. And at no point was he like, I wish this kid would get it. Like, I wish he'd stop bugging me and asking me. What it was doing is I knew the source to go to, okay? Over time, I've developed that now as I'm listening and I go, all right. And now he'll tell me, yes, after the third song, I'm going to do something. Okay. I don't even know what he's going to do. I just know he's going to do something. I'm going to walk up. I'm going to grab the mic. I don't have any of it yet. But all of a sudden, I know he's going to do something. He told me to pick up the microphone, and here's what's going. And I'll go like this. I feel like the Lord's saying, having no idea what the Lord is saying. And as I say it, it's like when you pull on the string. Have you ever seen like a shirt in one of those videos, and they start pulling the string, and all of a sudden the whole shirt goes up? Like you start getting the ball of yarn. And I'll just start pulling on that string by faith, right? I feel like the Lord's saying this. He's saying this. He's saying this. How much of that is God? A lot more now than it used to be. I would say the vast majority of time in there, I know it's the Lord very specifically because I've learned how to steward his voice into that point. But it took a process that we did not have in place because it was new to us. And so some of what we're doing is in prophetic family, we're developing a prophetic community and culture is we're making room for everybody to come in here right where they're at in their experience. See, because now... I was having a great conversation earlier. I was like, when I begin to minister with somebody, I don't have to question it. I just begin that. But I can't place that same standard on somebody else because they're not there yet. They may be where I was at 10 years ago going like, now? Or they may think, God, I'm going crazy. I'm hearing voices. Like, how many people heard, I don't want to go politics here, but how many people heard some of the tweets and stuff that was going on blasting Vice President Pence because he can hear Jesus? I don't know if y'all heard that, but he talked about his faith. I hear Jesus say, and a big thing came up, and it was all in the, oh, he's crazy, he's wacky, he can hear Jesus. It's one thing to pray to somebody that's not there, but it's another thing when they start speaking back to you. Like, that's what the outside world thinks, right? That's what the devil's going to try. My point is, that's what the devil's going to try to convince you of. And what am I doing? No. My sheep know my voice. Hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. All right. So by faith, I'm developing some of these things. So I thought that's important for us to be able to discern out. Now, there's a difference between the office of prophet and the gift of prophecy. The office of prophet, the gift of prophecy. And I'll touch on the Old Testament versus New Testament in a second here. But if you have your Bibles, open up to Ephesians chapter 4. And this may be all the time we have to get into some of this stuff. But I think it's very important to discern this out, and then we'll unpack more of it next week. But Ephesians, I must be hungry. That was Italian for Ephesians, apparently. Chapter 4, verse 7. It says, but to each one of us, let me hear you say each one of us. Let me say that includes me. Okay. Grace was given. Let me hear you say, grace was given. Now remember, when we talk about grace, grace is not just unmerited favor. It's the ability to do something you couldn't do before you received it, the empowerment. So it's by grace we're saved. So you can't be saved until you receive his grace. But once you receive his grace, you've been now given the ability to be saved or to choose him. Does that make sense? Okay. What this is saying is, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Whose gift was it? Christ's gift. Okay? So Christ is going to give gifts to the church. Verse 8, and therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captive of hosts captives. He gave gifts to men. It says, now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself, also he who ascended far above the heavens, so that he might fill all things. Now, Paul was wanting to bring clarity to make sure that everyone knew he was talking about Jesus, okay? So when you read this scripture, it's almost like a footnote. If you look at that right there, is this a footnote to clarify who he's talking about, all right? So I'm going to read this differently without verse number 9 and 10, and I'm just going to go from 9 into 11 so you can see the continuity of the thought. Is that okay? So it says, but to each one of us, grace was given to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he left captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, some as teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Okay? We'll read the rest in a second, but this is the what's called the five-fold ministry. I heard Robert Morris from Gateway teach it one time, and he says, I would actually call there's a six-fold ministry here. You have the office of the five-fold that equips the sixth office, which is the work of ministry of the saints. Okay? All of us are called saints into a work of ministry, but there's specifically Jesus established five offices in the church in order to be able to do what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. So when you look at this, and depending on your background, I'm not going to make any assumptions that anybody's got familiar with this, but we believe that the fivefold ministry is still in operation today, okay? Apostles govern, just very simply, apostles govern, prophets guide, evangelists gather people, the lost, right? Pastors guard, because they have a heart for the saved people, and teachers ground people. They want them to understand the word of God. Now, here's the danger of this. If we believe that ministry in a church setting is only the guys on the platform, this is an old paradigm or an old wineskin of ministry that Jesus actually didn't like. In Revelation, I don't remember which one of the churches he's speaking to, but he says, you guys are just like the Nicolaitans. What were the Nicolaitans known for? They were known for a heresy that said only a special select few people can stand on the platform and minister to the body. Everybody else is a bunch of slubs that don't have any right ministering in the name of Jesus. And he calls it a heresy that he hated, okay? What the real ministry of Jesus is, the fivefold ministry's purpose is to equip you, right, for the work of ministry. What does that really mean? It may include what we do on Love New Braunfels, going out and reaching the lost and ministering to people on the street. That's very true. But I want to read the context of this scripture is it's for the building up of the church. It's for building up the body. In other words, the fivefold ministry is there to equip you to be able to help each other and build each other up in your most holy faith into a family so that you can turn around and walk out these doors and become love to people. All right, so let's read what this says. Verse 11, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, some as teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. So there you go. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and, let me hear you say and, it's not less important, it's equally important, to the building up of the body of Christ. Okay? Verse 13, until, let me hear you say until. What does until mean? It's a period of time, right? This will continue until something happens. It's very conditional. Okay, so let's look at what the condition is. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now, I don't say this flippantly, but does the body of Christ look like that? No. So what it means is Christ gave gifts. Now, we've talked about during the fall, we had a series on Romans chapter 12 that talked about how the Father gave gifts, and it was a hardwiring. It's called the redemptive or the motivational gifts. It's kind of how you're hardwired around. So the Father gave gifts, the Son gives gifts, which is the fivefold ministry, and the Holy Spirit gives gifts, which is the abilities to fulfill the work of the kingdom. Okay? They all must work in conjunction. Father brings what? Identity. So when I know who I am as a son, how he hardwired me, I have my identity secure, then what happens? Oh, well, Jesus gave gifts to the church, a fivefold ministry, and what is their responsibility? Oh, not every person's called to be a fivefold, but in that relationship, they equip me to live wholehearted, to operate in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and to build up each other. Right? So I'm building up the fullness of the body of Christ. Why? Because the body of Christ receives the Holy Spirit, which receives the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is the special abilities to go out there and do the hands and feet and ministry of Jesus. So it's all in unison together. This is why this is important to be able to do it. And so separating the office of prophet from the gift of prophecy is the prophet probably has and should have the ability to prophesy. Doesn't mean they're going to be the most gifted at it. What it means is they're called to the body to help open up ears and open up eyes to be able to see and know God for yourself. In fact, I'm going to read this real quick. It says, where to go? The fivefold is not called to be the most talented and the only people who minister. Instead, they are called to give to the people what they have so that the saints will build up the saints, so that the body is built up in love and represents Jesus to the world. And we actually have what we need to build up each other in love. In fact, when we get that, we have what we need building each other. It says we don't just come to church to be fed, because that would be dysfunctional. Okay? It's important to understand this. Is it wrong to come to the church to be fed? No. But if that's your primary motivation, you're only going to get a part of what God has for you. Okay? It becomes a dysfunctional relationship, because what that says is the only time I can eat is when I come to church. That's just as silly as saying the only time I can eat is when I go to McDonald's. Do you hear me? Right? So I must learn how to what? Feed myself. So what's the fivefold ministry do? We equip you on how to feed yourself, how to hear the voice of the Lord, how to open up the scriptures and get out of the word what God has for you in it. Right? That's why we're going through the Know Him series right now. I have more of an apostolic calling. I'm never going to put Apostle J on my card, but I'm telling you, I have more of an apostolic calling. What is that? It's to ensure that heaven invades earth, that there's an open heaven, and that there's that we govern, meaning that the way the church is governed is from heaven downward, not earth upward. Earth upward is religion. Heaven downward is kingdom, okay? And so what is it? Equip the saints to operate in health and in wholeness, that you can hear God, you can know He speaks, and you can operate in what that looks like. It's not so you can sell a bunch of books and go around the world and have a traveling ministry. Although, that's a major part of it, because what was Paul doing? Paul's going to Corinth, he's going to Ephesus, he's going to the Philippi, he's going to Rome. And what is he doing? As an apostle, he's coming in and he is establishing a heaven invades earth culture, supernatural culture, so that when he leaves, they're equipped to operate in the fivefold ministry there, where Cindy's a fivefold prophet, right? What is that part of that doing? Oh, she's got an apostolic calling too. It goes hand in hand. But what part of what it is she's equipped really well to open up the eyes to see and ears to hear. Okay, that's a part of it. An evangelist, we have an evangelist in our church. Jerry goes down to Costa Rica. Man, that dude will save somebody quicker than anything. Like, it's like he'll just fall into people getting saved. And I'm like, how do you do that? Like, it's this grace that's on his life. What's his main responsibility? To equip evangelists to go get him, right? So I've asked him, pray for me. I want to see the lost come to know Jesus. I receive you as an evangelist. Will you pray for me? Because there's a scripture that says, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. What does that mean? The grace that's on their life, I receive them according to that grace, and what it is, it opens up that grace to be imparted to me. If I only receive them as a good man, what do I get? They're just a good man. And everybody can use a good man's blessing. That's not a bad thing. It just means it's not going to equip you, empower you to step into the next level things. Does that make sense? There's just no way, Cindy, we're going to... Timing. I'm just thinking on this. Are y'all okay with just a little bit more teaching, and then next week we really jump into... not just activation, but some more Q&A, okay? Because I feel like we need to wrap this up and really speak to it specifically. So let me read you this real quick. This came from Chris Fallon. The primary goal of the teacher is to release the ability to get for yourself what God's speaking through the word. The goal of the pastor is not to pastor, but to equip you to help you help each other get well and be wholehearted. The primary goal of an evangelist is to equip you to touch people who don't know God. The primary goal of the prophet is to equip you with eyes to see, ears to hear, so that you may have your own connection with God. All right? So to be a prophet is a calling. Let me hear you say, to be a prophet's a calling. Calling gives you identity. That's a part of it. I'm called by God. That's part of my assignment. Gifting gives you ability. Let me hear you say, gifting gives you ability. So to minister in prophecy is a gift. It's an ability that the Holy Spirit gives you. And then finally, anointing gives purpose. Let me hear you say, anointing gives purpose. So that means that in the flow of his love and worship, when the anointing of God is what Cindy was talking about, as I step out and my words are coming out, and there's just the words of Jay. But when the anointing comes onto them, it becomes the blue upon the blues as a color for grace, right? The blue comes upon my words, and no longer are my words. They now have grace upon them to do two things, forthtell and foretell. What's forthtelling? Like I get to speak it. Let me give the way to say it. To know the foretelling is to know the future. Forthtelling is to cause the future. would be a good example of forth-telling. He says, Ezekiel, prophesy over these bones. Say exactly what I tell you to say. So he says exactly what he says to say. And what happens? The dry bones get up and walk. Now, this is not allegorical. Literally, there was a valley with dead people, dry bones. And as he did it, the foretelling of what God was saying caused the event to happen. Okay? Foretelling is I'm just telling them what the future is going to look like. I feel like the Lord is calling you into a higher level of purity. I feel like God's going to open up a door into this industry. I feel like God's, like some of the words that were given on Sunday were really foretelling. They weren't so much forthtelling words. But I'll tell you this, our good friends who pastor Sozo Church up in San Marcos, Joel and Lauren. And when Papa Jack came 2 years ago, the first time, they had been praying about having a kid and another child, and it hadn't happened yet. And he came up to Jack and says, will you just pray for us? And he says, within 30 days, you're going to be pregnant. I think it was either day 29 or day 30, she was pregnant. So let me ask you a question. Did he just foretell the future or did he forthtell? I think both. Like there was something, because when it released it, she goes, yes. Like Lauren, you talk to Lauren, when she's like, yeah, I just grabbed a hold of that word and I believed it. And by faith, it was a seed and boom, it happened. So here's the point. We're partnering with that. Now, in general prophetic ministry, I'm just going to give you a protocol. You don't prophesy dates, mates, or what was the, huh? Babies. And babies. In general, that one is a really good idea to know this is God. Okay? Because that can really do some damage and stuff like that. You really need to do it. So if you just feel very strongly and the Lord's saying, you go say it now, you go say it now, and you keep trying to get out of it and the Lord keeps telling you, do what he says. But if you just think, I think that person's going to have a baby in about 30 days or whatever. Should I say that? God's like, nope, just letting you know. So that when it happens, you can know you heard me. You hear what I'm saying? Go back real quick to my story about during worship and having to discern when to go up and when to say something and when to not. Pretty soon learned out this is like the Lord would be saying, no, I'm not telling you to go say this. I'm telling you what I'm going to say in advance so that you know how to steward what I'm doing. And as a father of the house, you're not taken unaware of it. It's the same way when God says, hey, I'm going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what? I got my buddy Abraham. I better go tell my friend what's going to happen, right? So, hey, Abraham, let me into my plan, okay? Here's what I begin to discover. I would not walk up there, and all of a sudden, our worship leader at the time, Stephen, would just, all of a sudden, he'd say, the Lord just put on my heart this scripture, dot, 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 dot. It was exactly word for word. Now, if I would have walked in there and grabbed the mic, there had been no blue on the red, and it would have train wrecked it. But because I heard what's going on, and in the course of the flow of the anointing of what God was doing during worship, there was blue on the red, and all of a sudden, people go, I needed to hear that. It was amazing, okay? Trust that you're hearing. This is why some of these activations are important, because what am I doing? I'm taking a risk. I'm pressing it out. The more you grow in it, you're going to grow more confident in what you're doing, okay? Let me hit this real quick, and I'm going to pray for you, and then we want to honor y'all's time. Old Testament versus New Testament. Just real quick, scripture-wise, the Old Testament was all about our need for a Savior, okay? When you read the Old Testament and you don't think about it from the lens of the cross, okay, does it? And so you take grace out of it, do you get to the end of Malachi and go, oh, like, what a wretch. Like, sin sucks. Like, I'm bad. Like, you know, like, ugh. It doesn't leave you feeling all empowered and happy, right? If you only see it through that lens, you don't see it through the lens of the cross. Right, so the whole Old Testament is pointing to Jesus. It's telling us you can't do this on your own. Self-righteousness is not going to work for you. Sin is bad. And prophets were sent to judge the nations. Why? Because if God wasn't telling them, they did not know, because they didn't have the Spirit of God inside of them to tell them that it was wrong. So there needed to be a very direct word from it. And here's what happened in the Old Testament. Two things happened. If it was a prophet and he was right and the people didn't listen to him, what happened? They got stoned, right? If the prophet was wrong, what happened? He got stoned. Thank God we don't live in the Old Testament, okay? So you come through, Jesus comes up, and John the Baptist is still an Old Testament prophet. Even though he shows up in Matthew, like in the New Testament, we have to understand context of the timeline. John the Baptist is the last of the Old Testament prophets. And what was he doing? Repent, because you brood of snakes, you bunch of evildoers, you're full of sin, you're horrible, right? He's just telling them why, because Old Testament, you had to call out the sin in order for it to be dealt with, okay? What is Jesus, and so he baptized into repentance from dead works. What does Jesus baptize you into? Resurrection. The difference between Old Testament and New Testament is resurrection. Now from a new, and here's the thing, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came on people, not in them. He didn't live inside of them, okay? New Testament, where does he live? He lives in you. So the context of Old Testament versus New Testament prophecy completely changes on its head. Why? Jesus says, I've come and I've fulfilled both what? The law, which is what, and what was the law? The law, and I think it's in Corinthians or Romans, it says, the law was a law of what? Death, right? Because it was pointing to the fact, without Jesus, you're dead, okay? But Jesus brings life. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation because we live on this side of the cross. So just think about it. This is the cross. I'm on this side, Old Testament prophet. I'm calling down fire from brimstone. I'm Elijah. I'm on Mount Carmel. You got all these evil prophets. What am I doing? I'm calling fire down and I'm slaying them with a sword, okay? And I don't like people very well, very much. And you kind of notice he lived in the desert. Where did John the Baptist live? He lived in the desert. He was covered with camel hair and he ate locusts. Okay, not a very aspiring lifestyle. I'm just saying, okay? What happens on this side of the cross? Jesus is baptized with the Spirit, but all of a sudden he likes people. He's calling out treasure. He's calling out the hidden gold inside him. He's seeing them for who they can be through him. He knows them, and he's calling out that hidden destiny that's there inside of him. And there's a verse in Malachi. It says, let me see if I can find it real quick. Malachi 4, 5 through 6. So what happens when you take Elijah from the Old Testament and you transport him to this side of the cross, okay? It tells us, verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. What's that? That's the very last day when the white throne judgment takes place. Like, there's no more chances to receive Jesus. The goats on one side, the sheep on the other, and the lake of fire is in play, okay? That's the great and dreadful day of the Lord. But look what it says, verse 6, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So from a New Testament perspective, it now becomes about kingdom. Previously, what was preached by John in the Old Testament, the work of repentance from dead works, it's death, it's sin. But after Jesus says, I've fulfilled both the law and the prophets, and he says, in the gospel of the kingdom will now be preached. He says, up to this point, you've heard the law and the prophets. But from this point on in history, what is the gospel? It's the gospel of the kingdom. In that perspective now, what happens in prophecy? I might get a word of knowledge that somebody's dealing with a type of sin. I was thinking about something you would watch on the internet and it wouldn't be healthy because there's kids in the room right now, right? It begins with a P. And it'd be very easy from an Old Testament perspective to go, I sense that you've got this and it's this vile and it's this and this is this and this and this. Okay, that's Old Testament. What's the New Testament? I see it the same, except for I'm digging for gold underneath all that dirt. What's the gold? I see that the Lord's calling you into a season of purity. What happens? Blue on the red comes on that word of God's calling you into a season of purity. They now have grace to walk out of that darkness. Over here, zero grace. Because what was the cross and the resurrection? The grace of Christ. You're saved by grace. There was no salvation on this side of the cross. Somebody had to die, always. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so there was no grace in that word whatsoever for somebody to come out of it. It was a obedience thing, right? It was a self-effort. It was a self-work. Either I obey the word of the Lord or I don't. If I don't, I'm stoned, okay? On this side of the cross now, I'm calling people into purity. This is why it's so important. Last week, talking about let love be your highest goal. Pursue love. Let it be your highest goal. It says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Why? Because prophecy is going to build up. It says for edification, right? Exhortation and comfort. What's edification? Edification means to build up, right? What's encouragement? Exhort was different. I should be one. Call near. That's why I was looking for the word. It's going to call near, like come into your destiny. Like as I exhort you, dear brothers and sisters, Paul says, to make Christ, you know, the epitome of your heart, right? What's he doing? It's saying, I'm calling you near to him. So edification, I build you up into who God's created to be. I exhort you, come near to him. And comfort means I bring cheer to it. See, Jesus also said this. John says, play the dirge. What's the dirge? Funeral song. He says, but I'm playing the flute. What's that? That's the wedding song. Two different things. The funeral's been had. The resurrection's been had. Now on this side of it, what does it do? It's a wedding invitation. In prophecy, I'm building people up. So two things happen. In the church context, those who were saved, what are we doing? I see the created value inside of you. I'm calling out that gold. I'm pushing away all that dirt. Because why? The dirt's not valuable. The dirt can be pushed aside. But the gold inside of you, now that's valuable. And I call it up into the surface. Because remember, if you've ever watched the gold rush shows or whatever, what happens with gold? It's heavier and it's weightier and it sinks to the bottom. Right? So all the low-hanging fruit, all the crud is on top. It's easy to see that stuff. What are we doing? Lord, give me a word of knowledge. Give me a word of wisdom. How do you see this person? What do you have for them? Oh my gosh, they're dealing with that? Okay, what's your solution? Now what am I doing? I see the problem, but I prophesy the solution. Now it gives them the capacity to step into their destiny. Now, next week, we'll talk about, was that God? Is that Satan? Is it an angel? Is it just myself? Did I just have pizza last night and I had this weird dream? Because sometimes the answer is yes, it was just a weird pizza dream, okay? We're going to talk about discernment. How do you know that voice? How can you discern what's a false prophet, right? And also, how do I judge the word, too? We'll hit that next week because it's important for us to be able to judge it and weigh that. And then what do I do once I have a word? Because I'll just tell you right now, I've received a lot of different words over the years, some very specific, very weighty and very timely words. Just in the last 45 days, I've seen some of those start to come to pass in very vivid ways. But I got them 10 years ago and 8 years ago and 7 years ago. So if I was to judge, that's a right word. It would have been like, that feels right. I want that to be right. That sounds so true. But it hasn't come to pass yet, right? I can't just cast that aside. I need to put it on the shelf. And I begin to prophesy when God confirms, no, that is my word to you. And like I'll get the same exact word, like Chuck and Buzz afterwards. We were upstairs with our leadership team, and they just begin to prophesy over each one of our leaders. And some of the words that they said specifically to Kelly and I, we just got 30 days ago when we were in like word for word, exact phrasing of it. I'm like, I think that's God, right? Because the two people that said it have no idea who each other is at. Right? And then how do you begin to step into those things? How do you begin to come into agreement? How do you begin to declare those words that they're coming due? Does that make sense? So it's a little bit after 8:30. Any questions before I pray over you? Did I scare you? You okay? All right. All right. Why don't y'all stand together? And I would just say, if you do want to stay behind and ask more questions or just even activate a little bit, we'll give you a few minutes to do that as well. There's no pressure on it whatsoever. So, yeah, Father, we just come and since everything we've been talking about on Sunday, we just want to know you. We want to know you intimately. We want to know your heart. We know that we're sheep. We know we are your children. And we hear your voice. I pray the Lord tonight that you would give an increase to clarity to every single person. Like such a succinctness on hearing your voice and such a confidence of knowing that's my God. At the same time, I pray for an increase in the gift of discernment to know equally what's not your voice so that we would know what to give our attention to because we only want to give attention to your voice because we know faith comes by hearing you speak. And I know everyone here is hungry. So we come to you as children saying, Lord, increase. Have your way in us. Lord, I just release dreams tonight. I release visions, especially to those seers, that you would show them things just to confirm tonight. to the people who are knowers. I just bless those knowers, and that you would just sow things into their spirit so deeply. The things that they may have been pressing into and asking for a while, loves, and they just know it. To the feelers, I just bless their tender hearts right now. I bless you. All you see are your feelers. I just bless you in the name of Jesus. That is such a wonderful, wonderful gift and a wonderful way to hear the Lord. And I just feel like the Lord wants to remove trauma from all the times that the enemy tried to overwhelm you with counterfeit and tried to overwhelm you so you would shut that gift off. And instead I say, no, it's good to feel what God is feeling. And he's going to give you strategies to know what is him so that you can release the exact opposite in your declarations and come into agreement with it. So we just love you, Jesus, with all our heart. And we ask this in your name. Amen.